seated. There's an awful lot in the reading today, the gospel reading today. Hopefully I've impacted some of it. But firstly, fishermen are in a boat close to the shore, having spent a night fishing, when a man approaches them and calls out to them. Which end of the gospel am I at? Is Jesus calling his first apostles? Are we starting all over again? But we haven't had Pentecost yet, have we? No, this really is the end of John's gospel, and we seem to have come full circle. In our gospel today, we really are back in the boat and fishing. In fact, we almost seem to have forgotten that Jesus showed himself to them last week, and that John told us that many other appearances have occurred. So what's going on? I think that what's going on is that we have some very confused, grieving individuals who are really struggling to hold it together. They've been on a whirlwind ride for the last 3 years, and now it's stopped. Since they first met Jesus, when he called them from their fishing boats, they've travelled further than any local boys from Galilee had any hope of. They've seen things that they were amazed at. They've done things that have shocked them, and all in the company of the most inspirational man they've ever met. And then he went and got himself crucified for doing nothing wrong. What are they supposed to be thinking? Jesus, when he first called them, promised he would make them fishers of men. But what did that mean? He confused them, he berated them, cajoled them, and trained them. And then he went and died. He then appeared to them and wished them peace. But what we're not told is what he actually said to them in all of that time. Throughout their relationship, it seems that Jesus didn't really tell his apostles what to do, but more showed them who he was. When he told them, cast out demons, he doesn't seem to have given them a handbook, just vague instructions so that they come across some that they can't deal with. He's trying to make them self-reliant, but they don't really know what to do with the information he's given them. Even when he appears to them, he just gives vague messages. Peace be with you. Doubt no more, but believe. Receive my spirit. What? How? Why? Where? When? All this happened without leaving them with means to support themselves. So what do they do? Of course they do what they know. They go fishing. Food, money, and a purpose. They're trying to resume their old lives. However, it all goes wrong. They can't even do that right anymore. They slave all night without so much as a minnow. Checked yesterday, you do get minnows in the Sea of Tiberias. They're going to go hungry tomorrow. No food. And then a stranger calls out from the shore and tells them to cast the net on the other side of the boat. What? Are you serious? What does this idiot know? We've been here all night, and the fish are hiding on the other side of the boat. Oh well, nothing to lose. I wonder if there was an inkling of remembrance of that day 3 years earlier when their lives changed, or whether it wasn't until later that it dawned on them. Whatever, they did what the stranger said and nearly sank their boat with the weight of the fish. Suddenly, one of them realizes who it is. It is the Lord. Peter shows himself to be as impetuous as ever, but at least he does remember to put his clothes on before he jumps over the side of the boat and swims for the shore. Jesus then shows Peter the error of his ways yet again and points out that for breakfast he should have brought some of the fish with him. So he has to go back to the boat and collect some. Then they share bread and fish and fellowship. Then Jesus gets Peter on his own and messes with his head again. Three times he asks him whether he loves him, which distresses Peter greatly. I have no doubt that Peter was remembering the time he three times denied the Lord at the time of the crucifixion. It's clearly going to be upsetting. Then Jesus goes on about sheep. Hang on, I'm a fisherman, not a shepherd. What is it about? What is this about sheep and lambs? First I'm a fisherman, then I'm a fisher of men. Now what? A fisher of sheep? Again, Jesus is talking in riddles. I am fairly convinced that at this point, Peter probably didn't know what he was being asked to do, but he was sure he was going to do it. At that moment, everything is in place. The training is over, but Peter didn't know what to do yet. But that time would come. Pentecost would come and his mind would be freed and set loose on the world in the most spectacular way. Remember, we have 2,000 years of history to look back on these events and interpret them. Well, for Peter, that was all in the future. Right now, he can't even process what has happened in the last few months, let alone see into the future of the next few years. If he could, would he have run away? If he knew he would end up on the cross, would he have disappeared at that point? The training was complete, but the mission had not been set out just yet. So, Simon, what should we make of that then? Well, I think that there are several messages within the text, all of which we should find inspirational. Last week, Ned talked about vocations and we prayed for people with different callings. We were also asked to pray about what our true vocation is, as God has a purpose for all of us. This is a passage about vocations. Although they have been trained, the apostles don't know what they should be doing. They're kicking their heels, they're doing what they know, they're finding busy work to do to distract themselves from what has happened, and are marking time. But whose time? In a few weeks we'll have Pentecost, and bang! Now they know what to do and how to do it. They come out of their shells, they go through the Middle East and then the Mediterranean and establish the Christian church, and the rest, as they say, is history. Jesus is not cross that they're kicking their heels. He's not concerned. He is happy because it is what they should be doing at present. Too often, we try to run before we can walk. We think, what is it that I should be doing? And run off to do it without thinking. Waiting and planning. Today is an encouragement to wait on Jesus, to learn from him, to accept his teaching. We must be prepared to wait until the call for action comes and not try to anticipate that call. If we don't, we'll probably get it wrong. Or if we do get it right, it'll probably be for the wrong reasons. But there's more in this passage than that. The apostles don't recognize Jesus. He's appeared to them on several occasions. They've lived with him for almost constantly for 3 years. But they don't know him when he appears. How often do we not recognize the Lord? Where do we see him and not know it? When the stranger calls out to us, do we listen? Would we call them an idiot and refuse to cast the net out of the other side? Or would we see the goodness behind them? I'm not saying that we should always assume that the stranger is Jesus, but remember that it may be. Listen, pray, and test things in your heart. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more easily we will recognize him. But even then, as with the apostles, he may surprise us. And when he does, will we be ready to respond? Drawing the themes of the sermon together, we are waiting for a call, but we don't know when or how it will come. However, when it does come, we will find that we are prepared and trained if we only trust in God. We won't be asked to do what we can't. So what is your vocation? What are you waiting for? Keep watch and wait and be ready when that call comes. And when it does come, remember to put your clothes on and bring breakfast with you.